1 Corinthians 13:8. That wasn't where I was planning to start from. But it's okay. It's the Holy Spirit. It says, love never fails. This is not human love. A human being fail. A human being can let you down. Hallelujah. And if and because humans can let you down, you need to manage your expectations. If you don't manage your expectations, you can seriously hurt yourself. Amen? I know what I'm talking about. Amen? So the love there, yeah? The love there is God. Because 1 John 4, 8 tells us that God is love. The love is the love of God. Amen? The love there is God's love in your heart. When you allow that love of God to dominate your heart, it won't fail. Amen? Good times may come. Bad times may come. But you will still keep kicking. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you are born of God. Amen? Because you are what? You are born of God. You have the life of God in you. You see, when you are born of God, there are at least three things that you have in you. You have the life of God. It's called Zoe in Greek. Amen? It's divine life. Bible says in Jesus, in the word actually, which is Jesus, it said was life. And the life was the light. So you have life. Because you are born of God, you have light. Amen. See, when Jesus was in the world, he said, you know, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's Jesus. But in that statement, he's telling us something very important. He is the light of the world as long as where he is in the world. What of when he's gone? He gave us the answer. Before he left, he said, you are the light. I'm not the one that's saying it, Jesus. Isn't it? He said, you are the salt or what? If there is darkness all around my domain, whether in my work community or in my school community or in my household, who is responsible for turning on the light? Is me. Amen? Or, let's say it this way, is God walking through me. Amen? If I spend all the time saying, Lord, turn on the light, it's a wrong prayer. Amen? I can say, God, walk through me. Amen? Walk through me. Say, God, say with me, say, God, walk through me to shine your light. Hallelujah. But you know, if God is going to walk through you, you're going to have to be yielded. Because God is not a forcer. If it was left to God alone, everybody will enter heaven. It will just sweep them in. Like this morning, I had a broom there, and I just pushed the dust to one side. He said, get out of my way. Amen. It was left to God. 2 Peter 3:9. He says that God is not willing that anyone should what? Perish. But that all should come to repentance. But he can't force it. He can reach out to everyone, and he does. But everybody has the right to respond. Amen? He can't force it. So, for God to use me, I have to be yielded. Hallelujah. For you to walk in love, the God kind, you need to humble yourself. You will never be yielded until you humble yourself. Because they are the same thing. You can't yield until you let go. Amen? If you are holding tight, You can't yield. You just be massaging your ego. You know, many times the sins we commit at children of God is because you are massaging what? What are you massaging? Your ego. Your ego has been bruised. Now it needs a nice massage. So you're not going to let go. You're not going to listen to the Holy Spirit because your ego needs some massage first. You listen to the Holy Spirit after. For now, let's massage this ego. Amen. So your ego is the enemy of walking in God's love. Because it wants to be massaged first. Amen. Hallelujah. So how did Jesus overcome this problem? This is not in my notes. This is just bonus. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews. Open your Bible to Hebrews. What I'm looking for says sacrifice and offering you have not desired. Where is that? Hebrews, yes, which chapter? Thank you. Hebrews chapter 10. Are you sure? Yeah? Thank you so much. You know, just what you're doing now is part of the ministry of helps. Anything that makes that work of ministry more effective. Is helps. Hebrews chapter 10, verse what again? Verse 5. And by the way, the title of today's sermon is Love One Another, and it's part 2 of the message. And I believe that God blessed you last week. I'm just going to build on that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Yes, it's ringing the bell now in my memory because I've memorized it before. Hebrews 10, we're going to read verse 5. 2:7. Let's have it two versions. New King James and New Living. Yes, a young person first. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. New King James Version or New Living. Which one do you have?
New Living.
Okay, go on.
That is why when Christ came into the world, he said...
John 3:16. Bible says, for God so loved what? That he gave what? That whoever should not but have. Now, Jesus has not come into the world to fulfill this mission. How is he going to get it done? This love journey. This God loving the world. How is Jesus going to implement this love? Yeah? What is the key to implementing God's love in the world? Yes, please start again and read it. Hebrews 10, 5 to 7.
That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures.
Amen. What version was that again?
New Living Translation.
I want New King James. Oh, actually, I just want King James. Anybody have King James? I want it in the most concentrated English version. You know, there's a difference between diluted juice and concentrated juice. Sometimes concentrated juice is too concentrated, yeah? So you will dilute it. Am I right? But when you go to the shops to buy the squash, please buy the concentrated one. You cannot make sure at least you have the concentrated one at home. You can dilute it as you want, but don't go buy diluted one. The concentrated one will give you the full package. Amen. Yes. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 to 7. Please follow as Brother Nick will read.
Therefore, he came into the world.
When Jesus came to this world,
he said, sacrificed and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God.
Hallelujah. Let me try to break it down in a way that that's the job of a teacher. A teacher, we take something, then break it down to your level. Yeah? When Jesus came, he said, God, you don't want sacrifices and offerings, but it's a body you are prepared. What does that mean? Let me try. Anybody? What does it mean that he's saying that God does not... You see, God is the one that instituted sacrifices and offerings in the Old Testament. Isn't it? He told Moses. The law came through Moses. Remember? But grace and truth came to Jesus. We're not going to show you the difference between the law and grace and truth. Under the law, you do sacrifices and what? Offerings. But Jesus said now that that's not really where God was going. Yeah? What is the difference between sacrifice and offering and a body? Anybody? The way it comes across to you. I mean, like, what is Jesus really saying there? He says, sacrifice and offerings you don't desire, but it's a body you have prepared me. Yes? Tell me what you think. You don't have to give the right answer. I just want to sample your opinion.
Is a sacrifice more of like a temporary thing? Whereas if it's your body, it's more of like a permanent thing, and it's, it's your whole self.
Thank you, thank you. You are developing. I like it. I like this dish we're trying to cook. Yes, more. Come on. Don't be afraid of being wrong. Just go for it. Whatever you say, I'll help you package it well. Okay. Anyone, come on. Sacrifice and offering you didn't desire. But you say, actually, really, that's not where God was going to. It's the body. Come on. Yes.
It means God is saying that the sacrifice and offering he doesn't desire, but doing his own will is what he wants.
Ooh, thank you. You're a chef. You are developing this dish. Yes, more. They're in the right direction. I like it. One more. Yeah? Amen? One more. Jesus, yeah. You know, he said, you have heard that it was said. Yeah? Thou shalt not commit adultery. It's in Matthew 5. Yeah? Yeah? That was Old Testament. That's the law. Yeah? But he's showing us much more than the law. Under grace and truth, he's telling you that. He said, but whosoever shall look at a woman, or a man, including a man, you can work both ways, with lust, yeah, in their heart, has already what? Committed adultery with them. That's the real deal. Amen. Amen. It's no longer just about an action. It starts with what? The thought. Amen. Amen. That's love in action. That's love in action. Amen. Sacrifice and offering represent your performances. Anybody like a good performance? Yeah? You like to attend in... anybody who has been involved in a gig before? You do gigs. Tell us about it. What excites you about gigs? Then pass to your wife for her to tell us her own version of how she sees it when you're performing. Good. Yeah. What do you like about gigs?
I think it's, when I used to be in a band, it's more of like an external feeling of like being a part of something that's larger than you.
Does it feel electric?
Yeah. It feels... like you're outside of your body.
Yeah. It feels like the anointing is entering you. I mean, I know you don't believe that, but the anointing, yeah, I tell you something.
Now.
It can be electric. Yeah? Okay, pass it on to your wife. Let her give us a version. What do you like about performances? Or what goes to your mind when Nick is performing?
I think it is the community.
community aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. Because it's the environment.
Yeah,
the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Is what? How does that atmosphere feel?
Dangerous.
It's charged up. Hallelujah. It's like you have a stadium packed full. Anybody like watching football? Many times I've wondered, even when I was watching football. Nowadays I don't do much because it raises my blood pressure. I don't want to land in the hospital. Seriously speaking. Seriously. But when I watch football on TV, I actually feel that I have a bit. The only day I went to watch football in the stadium, my visibility was so poor, like I was sitting behind the goalpost. I could hardly see. But when I watched on TV, you see all the angles, you see replay, you see even what the people on stadium did not see. But why do people go? Yes? No, let me develop what. What? Why? Why do they want to be there physically? There's a reason. Because you can achieve better visibility from your TV.
It's just electric charge of it.
The atmosphere. The atmosphere. Amen. Someone say, would you say atmosphere? Many times you are going for the atmosphere. And you're missing the real deal. Amen. Sacrifice and offering is your performance, your presentation. Your packaging. Yeah? You're trying to impress God. Amen? Yeah? If you can just get the best musician. Yeah? In the world. Who can that be? I'm thinking Christian now. The best gospel artist. Sorry? Please listen to what I'm trying to teach you. What did you say? Go on, don't be shy. It's
African,
okay.
I'll tell you.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I can tell you that even when you say it, not everybody will agree. Amen. Because everybody have their taste. Sometimes you feel, I've been there, that, oh, we can just get this person to come and lead us in worship. We will really enter heaven. You think so? But that's ministering to the emotional part of your being. Amen? It's not God. Amen? Sacrifice and offering. He's not really. He allows it. He permits it. He even instructed it in the Old Testament. But the Old Testament is a shadow of the new. It is a shadow. So if you say the Old Testament, it's a shadow. It is there to introduce us. It's an introduction. It's an appetizer. You ever go to a party? It's like, you know, and maybe you have a large appetite. Anybody have a large appetite? Went to a buffet restaurant. And you just filled up your tummy with the starter. What other starter can you fill your tummy with? Please help me. Yeah, now I'm not very experienced in these things. Anybody? Anybody? What other starter can you see? And then I'm just going to continue. You binge on it. Mm-hmm. Any starter like that? Cheese. Yeah, any other one? Oh, I actually seen it with my two naked eyes. Somebody came to a restaurant in Reading. You know the popular restaurant is buffet in Reading. And all he was just eating all evening was what? Prawn. I was like, wow. Amen. That was only the starter. The real meal is there. The real one that you will do you good is coming. don't just be satisfied with eating starter. That's why Jesus, when he came to fulfill this business of love, he said what? His sacrifice and offering was just a starter. Your performance, your presentation, any atmosphere you can generate that someone who doesn't know God can generate is just a starter. Amen. It's not spirituality. It's what? It's starter. Like if I buy very nice equipment. Anybody know nice equipment? That when I just say, praise the Lord, and it's so powerful. The whole room is just booming and vibrating. It's a starter. It's not spirituality. Anything an unbeliever can achieve is what? A starter. Even your money and your wealth is not spirituality. What is it? A starter. See, if you forget anything, remember that anything an unbeliever can do, you can't impress God with it. What did I say again? Anything an unbeliever can package up and do, yeah, you can't impress God with it. I know you work very hard in your GCSE, and you had all nines. Hallelujah. Do you think God is impressed? I went to the mother. Amen? Oh, of course, your father will be impressed. He's very proud of you. You know your father loves you. Do you know that? He does. I've seen it in his eyes. Amen? It's a good place to be. To know and to experience the love of the Father. It's a good place to what? Some people don't have that privilege. We should appreciate it. Amen? Hallelujah. It's that when I understand the love of the Father, when I understand that my Father loves me, yeah, there's only one way I can respond. To honor my Father. Amen? To honor him. Hallelujah. Why? Because he loves me. He loves me with an everlasting love. I can. You see, when you receive love, you respond back with trust. Amen? If there's anybody you can trust, it's a person you know that genuinely loves you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time, the Lord is good. The sacrifice and the offering is only a starter. What is the real deal? It's your body. It's your life. Your life. So that's why Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, Romans 12, 1, you present what? Your body. Yourself. As a living sacrifice. It's not just the sacrifice of bulls and rams. Yeah? Your status. That's not what God is looking for. You yourself, your life, everything about you is the sacrifice that God wants. Amen? In fact, if you doubted this, he said, this is your reasonable service. This is your acceptable worship. Amen? This another way to say that this is your loving worship, the one that he loves. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Now this body is what he has given me. Do you not the only thing that qualifies you to live on this earth is what? It's your body. No matter how anointed you are, if your body fails, yeah, your way out of this world. Huh? Are you following me? God gave you 10 million times anointing compared to Elijah and Moses. You know Moses and Elijah? They were the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. Moses and Elijah. You can't match them. You have 10 times, but your body failed. You're out. Amen. So your body is a symbol of your life on earth, your physical life. Your body is a symbol of your physical life. God wants you Yeah? To love him with your life. Amen? He says, the body you've prepared me. And then I said, lo, I've come to do your will. Oh, Lord. Amen? Now, you say, why have I taken you there? It's not me, actually, it's the Holy Spirit. But what I'm thinking is to understand that that is love. That's how love begins. When you lay it down, you can walk in love. Yeah? Humility is a gateway into the God kind of love. Amen? Because you yourself in your human capacity cannot do this love. So the only way that love can work is if you let God walk it through you. Amen? But many times, you find yourself blocking God. Say, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. Don't go that side. There are many untouchables. Yeah? You know, like you have our lives in different compartments. And there are many compartments that are untouchable for God. Now you come to church, you raise up your holy hand, but you are not allowing God to invade that part. That is why his love is not dominating that part. Amen? You have to allow God. It's a full package. Hallelujah. Psalm 68 verse 4. Open your Bible to Psalm 68 verse 4. I have some unfinished business with Psalm 68 verse 4. Anyone have it? You can read. Young person. Psalm 68 verse 4. Anyone ready? I already gone there in my mind. Psalm 68 verse 4. Anyone? Adult? Youth? Anyone? Yes. Psalm 68 verse 4. Oh, sorry. You have to read it from New King James Version. Otherwise, you will not bring out what I'm trying to bring out. New King James Version. Psalm 68 verse 4.
Okay. I read. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds by his name. Yeah, and rejoice before him.
Amen. That was not referred to that last week. We're talking about the personal name of God. Amen. Psalm 68 verse 4 reveals to us the short version. Yeah? Extol him by his name, what? Yeah. Someone says to me, say, yeah. It's a short personal name of God. Amen? Yeah. You know, some people call it Jah, but like I told you, in Hebrew, there's no J. It's Yah. Amen? And when you combine that with the revelation in Exodus 3:15 that says that his name is Yod, He, Vav, H, YHVH. Not W. It's not ever W. It's what? It's V. So you see that when some sisters already told us that the first version of the YH is what? Yeah. Amen. And of course, we completed last week that because 1 John 4 8 tells that God is love, in Hebrew, the word for love is what? Ahava. Amen. Ahava. So when you take that knowledge that the short personal name of God is Yah, and you understand that God himself is what? Love. And you understand that in Hebrew, a name reveals the character of the bearer. Hallelujah. Then you can see that revelation coming on. That the right pronunciation will be Yahava. Not Yahweh. Not Jehovah. But what? Yah. Because when you say Yahava, you are saying God is love. It reveals his full character. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say with me, say Yahava is Ahava. So every time I call him, and I did that this morning, there was a song I was singing before, that's Jehovah. So I then changed it. And I was singing Yahava. And I was saying it, I could see the love. Because that is the packaging of the name. Hallelujah. Every time you call his name, you understand that he is what? He is love. And he never fails. God never fails. Yeah, God never fails. I was chatting with my son, and I was saying that, you know that with God is not a democracy. Like if all the Christians in business look sat together, about a Bible verse and say, oh, we don't agree with what this Bible verse is saying. We all agree that actually it's the opposite. Yeah? It doesn't move God. It doesn't change God. It doesn't change His word. He doesn't need your vote. Amen? You know why? Do you know why? Why is it that even if we all agreed about something that is contrary to God's word, it doesn't change who God is? Why? Why doesn't God change? You say God does not change. Why? Why doesn't He change? Why can't God change? So that we agree with all of us. Say, all the people have now agreed, all the Christians, the best Christians in the world have now agreed that actually that part of the Bible was a mistake. So God, we have signed it. Can you see the signatures? We have 8 billion signatures. No, not 8 billion. 8 billion is proportion of the earth, yeah? So 1 billion. Yeah? No. Let's say 2.5 billion, because about 1/3 of the population of this world claim to be Christians. But of course, you know that from that claim, at least half are fake. Because 5 of the virgins were wise, and 5 were what? Foolish. So you know at least that's the minimum success rate. Half. That's the maximum, sorry. Not the minimum. Half. So why is it that if you present that signature to God, everybody has signed now that, okay, as from now on, you know, it's okay to be doing this, despite the fact that the Bible says no. Why is it that that signature does not change God? Why?
Because He Himself said, I'm the Lord, I change it not. And yeah. If He changes, then everything self-destructs because His word is true.
If God changes, I like that. If God changes, He has pressed the self-destruct button. He has destroyed Himself. The reason why God cannot change is that He is perfect. God cannot be better. Hello? Okay, now I understand. I didn't understand it before. But now that you have all signed it, I agree. No, He is perfect. Amen. The only reason why you need democracy is that you have a king who is not perfect. If you have a king who is loving, who is good, or let's just even say this, who is perfect, you don't need democracy. Democracy is an imperfect form of government. Amen. Democracy is you, proud and selfish people. And I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to you. Like you, the world. Voting in other proud and selfish people. And that demon of selfishness and pride will always manifest at the right moment. Yeah? Some of those demons manifest aggressively. Some will manifest ever so gently. Yeah? They will be what? They'll be dealing with you and they'll be smiling. Yeah? You won't know that they're dealing with you. Amen. But God is perfect. If God said, you know, this is it, that is the best deal. It can't be better. It can't. God cannot be better. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, if we are faithless, yet He remains what? Faithful. Yeah? Why? Why does He remain faithful? He cannot. That's self-destruct. Amen? He cannot. Amen? It's self-destruct. Hallelujah. And that's why we can trust Him. Let me ask you a question that I did during the week. This will help you. Let me see how we are doing with time. We want to talk about friendship. I did during the week with school children. Friendship. What are the most important qualities you need in a good friend? Think about it. The most important qualities you need. Try not to distract yourself. The most important qualities you need in a good friend. Or let's say this other way. What are the most important qualities you need to be a good friend? So think about it both ways. Either the most important quality you need in a good friend or the most common question, you need to be a good friend. Yes?
Someone that listens.
Yes, so listening. So I'm looking for one word answers like virtues or character, values, whatever. So see, I'm coming. Yes? Think about a word. Yes?
Loyalty.
Loyalty.
Trust.
Trust. I got one of my answers.
Empathy.
Empathy. Yes. More. I will surprise you because when you finish, I will show you where I'm going. Yeah?
I think honest.
Honesty. Kindness. I don't think you ever do that. Yes. Honesty. I won't qualify that and call it truth. Truth. Yes. A good friend. What type of quality will you like in a good friend? Or what kind of quality do you think, if I have this, I'll be a good friend? Come on. Who is ready? What?
Love.
Okay. Yes, more? Any other one? There's a key one I've not heard.
Trust.
Yes. There's a key one. Reliability.
Respect.
Is it my list? Yes.
Selflessness.
Or maybe generosity. But selflessness is better. Yes. Any other one? I've not heard one. I'll keep going until I hear this one. For someone to be your good friend, I'm giving you the clue now. Knowing that you are an imperfect person. Someone said empathy is coming there, but there's still one I've not heard. Yes?
I think God fearing.
Yes. You are an imperfect person and someone is your good friend.
Forgiveness.
Amen. Do you know everything you just told me now is packaged in love? All of them. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 is telling us. All of them is packaged in love. Let's read it again, and then we'll begin to round up there. So go to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to read verse 4 to 7. And see if you can find all those words there. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. Who is ready? Who has been too quiet today? Anybody who has been too quiet? Yes. It's your turn. Here, you have it all for yourself. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. Go for it in New Living Translation, or better still, read it in Amplified. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7, in Amplified Version. And then I'll begin to round up there. Yes. Yeah, 13, verse 4 to 7.
Love endures long and is patient and kind.
Love endures long. It is patient. It is kind, yes.
Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy.
It's not envious, not boiling over with jealousy. Just begin to think about your good friend. Good friend. Yeah?
Is not boastful or vainglorious.
It's not boastful or vainglorious.
Does not display itself haughtily.
Mm-hmm.
It is not conceited,
mm-hmm.
arrogant, and inflated with pride.
It's not arrogant, inflated with pride. Think about your good friend. Your good friend. Yeah? Yeah?
It is not rude. Unmannerly.
It is not rude. And what's another word for rude? Just to reverse the word you gave me now. You talk about respect. So what's the reverse of respect? Disrespectful. Amen? You're a good friend. But they don't respect you. Do you know respect is another word for love? Respect is another word for love. When you love, you value. What you value, you respect or you honor. Yeah? When you are being disrespectful, you are being unloving. Because you are saying that you don't value them. Hello? You're saying they don't value them. So that can they be your good friend? They're always going to disrespect you. And they say they're your best friend. Yeah? Do you see that as loyalty? Please continue.
It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride.
Mm-hmm.
It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly.
When you are being rude, first and foremost, what is behind rudeness? Let's analyze rudeness. What is the stronghold of rudeness or disrespect? What makes people behave rudely and disrespectful? Come on, church, help me. What is behind? What's going on behind? Yeah? Someone is rude and disrespectful. What's going on inside them? Hatred, maybe. But let's assume they're not there. Maybe they don't have hatred. What else could they be? What? Pride! They think too highly of themselves. You know what they're really doing? They're massaging their ego. Yes? More? I saw anon. You know, this massage business can be a serious problem.
Anger,
yes. And what is it? What is behind anger? It's pride. It's still a massage of what? Of the ego. You see, when your anger is out of control, you are thinking too highly of yourself. Like I said, I'm not saying you cannot be angry. But you must not let anger control you. Because when anger controls you, you are out of control. You are out of love. Yeah? No matter your anger, it must be in control. You know, and what I say, what can control your anger? When you're angry, and you can no longer submit to the word of God, you are out of control. You need help. You're in a state of temporary insanity. Amen. Is there another thing anybody wanted to say before I finish this message today? So, in finishing, you can see that love is bigger than you. Amen? As you yield yourself to God, His love will start working in your life. Amen? His love will start working in your life. Yes, I remember what I want to say. You can never be a good friend without truth. Imagine your good friend always lying to you. Can you ever trust them? Amen? Can you trust somebody who is always deceiving you? Always trying to manipulate you? Yeah? No. You need truth. Let me say a bit more about truth. Open your Bible to Ephesians 4. We read it, Ephesians 4. And remember, I'm rounding up. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You're going to help me again. One of my helpers there. What it says there, depending on the version, is speaking the truth in love. It's one of the places we read. Ephesians 4, 25 to 32. Speaking the truth in love. Where is it? Did you find it? Speaking the truth in love. Which verse? It's hiding there. Is there? You just hiding. It depends on your version. Okay. Okay, I see why you can't find it. It's some verses before. Ephesians 4:15. Yes, let's have it. Read Ephesians 4:15. And we will just show you a bit about the relationship between truth and love. Why love is not possible without truth. That will not show you. I mean the God kind. Genuine love is not possible without truth. That's what I'm going to show you there. And then we'll finish. Yes? Ephesians 4:15. Who is ready? Yes. Yes, go for it. What version do you have?
King James.
Yes, version. Go for it.
But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
Amen. How do you grow up into him? The last qualification there is what? Just read it again. Read it again.
May grow
up. No, just from the beginning. But
speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things,
yep,
which is the head, even Christ.
So if I want to grow up into Christ in all things, according to Ephesians 4:15 alone, what do I need? I need the ability to be able to speak the truth in love. Isn't that awesome? Basically, what's telling me like that if I remove truth, love collapses. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a foundation. There can be no trust without truth. Even among criminals. Yeah? Some criminals trust themselves because they say the truth themselves. When they start lying to themselves and deceiving themselves, there will be no trust. Amen? Amen? John 17:17. It says, sanctify them with your truth. Your word is true. Amen. The reason why we can trust God and where we can embrace His love and practice His love is that we know. You see, another word for truth is faithfulness. You see, because but it may not come out like that in English. But truth means that it stays the same. Amen. If it changes, it's not true. If it ever changes, it's what? It's not true. If it's truth, it stays the same. From eternity to eternity, it stays the same. That's why it's reliable. That's why it's dependable. Amen? This is the reason why we can rely on the word of God. It's true. It's a principle. He has given you the principle. It's true. You can depend, you can hang your life on it. You may not feel like it. Your emotions may be rolling over. But if you hang on this, you will carry through. Yeah? You will carry through because it's true. Amen? It is true. Right now, it may be challenging. Right now, the road may be narrow and difficult. But if you stay the course, if you stay the course, you will get to destination. That is truth. And the word of God is truth. Amen? And so you see that everything that love does, all the principles are in the word. If I practice the word of God, I am walking in what? In love. Because God is love. Amen? Hallelujah. And we finish this message. I want you to see, remember the connection between truth and friendship. Hallelujah. The best friendship you can ever have in this world, whether human or with God, is going to be based on the foundation of speaking the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. But you do it what? In love. Hallelujah. And so as part of loving one another, it's not that we were hiding the truth, deceiving ourselves. You see a spade, you call it what? What do you call it? A spade. You know, imagine you are playing cards. I don't play cards, but you are playing cards. And you see that it's spade. What do you call it? A leaf. You know? You call it what? Yeah, because you're trying to be nice. You call it what? A diamond. You're not speaking the truth. You know? It's a spade. What is it? A spade is what? It's a spade. But you say it nicely. Yeah? It's a spade. Say it nicely. But still call it what? Call it what? Spade. Ah, I remember the last night you do. So First Corinthians 13 says that if I speak in the tongues of men and tongues of angels and I don't have love, I am just performing. A performer. And because you don't have love, you're not just a performer, you are a religious hypocrite, deceiving yourself and deceiving others. In fact, you're a noisemaker. And I want to show you the... Where's my tambourine? See this? This guy here is a performer. His destiny is just to perform. Yeah? Amen? If I don't have love, what am I? See that? You may get applause. You may get applause. But you don't have to believe. Amen? You don't want to perform. You want to be a real people. Yeah? True. I've said so many things today. I've even said, half of what I said today, I don't plan to say, but I need the Holy Spirit to say it, and I've yielded myself. And the reason why he has played this way, that he wants to give each person their own unique message. It may just be a few things, but he has spoken, I'm sure, in my spirit, that God has spoken to you specifically about a part of your life today. So what you want to do now is respond to him. Talk to God about anything he has spoken to you to. Whatever God has spoken to you in a personal way from this sermon, the one that is yours, just talk to him about it. Jesus said, sacrifice and offering is not what you have desired. It's not your performance or your presentation. That's not how you impress God. It's about your obedience, your yieldedness, to allow the Holy Spirit walk in you and through you. It is not a jamboree. It's your life. It's your life you yield, and then his love begins to walk. And as his love begins to walk, you begin to see the power of God walking, both in you and around you. There's one language that the devil doesn't understand. It's the language of love. He doesn't understand it. He can't understand it. So yield yourself to God and say, Lord, I yield to you. I yield to your word. His word is truth. I yield to your love. I yield to your Holy Spirit. In the midst of this corrupt and perverse and broken an hopeless world, I want you to use me as your vessel to touch lives. This can be in your secondary school, or in your college, or in your university, or in your workplace, or in your school community, or in your neighborhood, or in your family, both immediate and extended. God can use you, and he wants to. So you just say, Lord, use me, so that this life I'm living, it will count. It will count not just for present, but for eternity. Hallelujah. 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 For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. And it just